Needy Readers of James. Now, in the past lesson or two, we've been studying the problem in Galatia. That was leaving the faith of the gospel and trusting in deeds, works. Now, James emphasizes the works. Paul was saying, now, these beggarly elements, these works that you're doing, they are valueless. Now James comes along and says, works are valuable. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own soul. Now the word is an interesting word here. It's used of Jesus Christ. He was the word that was made flesh. He is the Logos. And the idea behind this is the message, the content, the totality that is revealed behind the articulated segments of speech that we call words. There is a concept, there is a reality, there is a message. And we should do the reality that is behind the word, the rhema, the spoken segment. We are to get to the Logos. Not hearers only, but carriers out. Earlier on this quarter, I mentioned that James, the Lord's brother, gave special advice that his listeners should be slow to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I think he did this. The more I read James, the more I come to this conclusion. He was talking to himself. When the little boy Jesus was growing up, he was not slow to hear. He wouldn't listen. He was not slow to speak. He talked all the time against. And he was not slow to wrath. But as he looked back, he was full of regret. And he says, now don't treat anyone who comes into the church by appearances. I did that. Don't do wrong, you'll set on fire the course of nature. I did that. Be slow to wrath, it starts war and turmoil. Don't do it, I did it. And so now the readers of James must bear in mind their needs. Part number one, playing favorites. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Now who is your neighbor? Neighbor literally means the farmer near you, next to you. It has to do with geography, with proximity. Today we talk about a neighborly act, and we have got some kind of ethical, moral behavior. But a neighbor is strictly a geographical term, the one you meet. I can't help the people in Africa or South America. But where I am here in the Philippines, there are many people I meet that I can help. And I'm only expected to help the geographically proximate in this expression, neighbor. Love the neighbor as thyself, those you come into contact with physically, day by day. If we look at the outward appearance, the clothes, the cultural look, the hairdo, the cultured accents of speech, the type of car, the type of home, and then begin to show deference, we are not just. And somebody who is a farmer, uneducated, perhaps, as the farmers round which I live, illiterate, never having gone to school, unable to read or write, tending their rice or their sugarcane, and I despise them, I am not really a child of God. I must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. I must not play favorites. Now, James, the Lord's brother, had done that to Jesus Christ, had done that to the Virgin Mary. Young woman, just entering into her womanhood. He had judged by appearances. Now he was sorry. Part number two, loose in speech. One must bridle one's tongue. Bridle it. Hold it back with a bit, a piece of steel in its very center, so that it cannot run away with the words that seem to be tumbling out. James 3:6 says that if you don't speak properly, you will set on fire the course of nature. And if you look in your margin, that's the wheel of nature. And then if you care to look up Proverbs 25:11, you will read another speech connected with wheel. A word spoken on his wheel, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And a word that is not spoken properly will set on fire the wheel of nature. The wheels within wheels, as the book Education indicates, the play and interplay of human events. The machinery of life will flow well with the words fitly spoken. The machinery of life will generate heat and friction and fire if the word is not spoken right. And Jesus reminded his disciples that by their words they would be justified and by their words they would be condemned. Part number 3, boastful self-assurance. You are not the master of your destiny. You cannot say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that, and day after tomorrow I'm going to do that. You don't know. You may be in your redwood box before tomorrow evening. Say, if the Lord wills, we will do this. Boast not of tomorrow. We don't know what today is going to bring forth, let alone tomorrow. And now that we're in the rainy season here in the Philippines, we certainly don't know what the day is going to bring forth. It can start out cloudless, and by 2:30 in the afternoon, we have a beautiful cloudburst. Part number 4, self-seeking wealth. In the last days, James specially says, self-seeking wealth will manifest itself. A few men will control millions, billions of dollars. In countries where the poor are pushed down, where laborers are paid a pittance. And as we look over the third world today, we see rich men getting richer. And the farmer on the outskirts of food production, not even supplied with money enough to buy his mattock or his bolo. Sign of the last days, an index of their criminal non-Christian heart, and the warning that their gold and silver, their insurance against the future, will provide no shelter in the last days and the lake of fire. Nothing wrong with riches, but riches not used or misused will prove the destruction of those who hoard them. Part number 5, various kinds of wisdom. Wisdom from above, and there is wisdom from beneath. One is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, merciful, full of good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And then there is a wisdom from beneath, schemes and dreams selfishly, destructively, corrosively, revolutionary. The end, the ways of death. The focus of the week. Looking back over his treatment of the little boy, James, the Lord's brother, had much good advice. The control of the tongue, the control of the eye and the outward obedience, the control of the disposition and the spirit, the control of wealth, the control of wisdom, all brought into subjection to the power of the Spirit. As we look back at what we have done or not done, what we have been or should have been and weren't, let us resolve that we are going to permit the power of divine grace to enable us to practice all the principles of the gospel that have been brought to our notice.